This meeting is now being recorded.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, this is Carlton.
Hey, Carlton, how you doing?
I'm great.
In response to your question, Drew, yes.
So, David, did you want to go over your – I know we're not going to do recommendation D yet, but did you want to go over your other part first?
I can say where we've got to. I can give an update, yeah, if that helps.
On Jean-Baptiste's agenda, there's one other thing I think you were going to go over, maybe with rights protection mechanisms.
Yeah, I can say where we got to last week at ICANN, so I can give an update to the people here, yeah, if you want.
Yeah, okay, great. Okay, so then I can just quickly – I'll quickly go through the recommendation consolidation and then pass it on to you, David, and then we can both talk about recommendation D. So welcome, everybody, to the sub-team call. Loreen is not able to make the call today, so we're going to proceed without her, and we're going to go ahead and go over some recommendation consolidations that we've already discussed and present their hopefully final form, and then David and I will give an update about where we are with recrafting and updating one of the DNS abuse recommendations in light of public comments in our own internal discussions. So starting off, Jean-Baptiste sent an email around with my revised recommendation C. And this recommendation has now been updated. It received widespread support from the community, and we already discussed the public comments. But this has now been updated in light of the fact that it pretty much obviates the need for recommendations, and Jean-Baptiste will have to correct me, I think 19 and 34, which called for additional DNS abuse-related research, one of which was being pretty specific and prescriptive about looking at different types of DNS, different types of registration restrictions and correlations to DNS abuse, and another one that was broader. And so I've updated this language slightly for recommendation C, and now I think it encompasses pretty much what we were going for with our initial recommendations, as well as what we were thinking about when we came up with recommendation C a few months back and taking into account the public comments. So Jean-Baptiste sent this around a little while ago, which is my fault because I did not get it to him until late. But I guess has everyone had a chance to read it? Otherwise, I can read it to everyone. Is there anyone who hasn't had a chance to read it yet?
Hands up, I haven't, I'm afraid, Drew. David here.
Okay. Anyone else? All right, and for the edification of David, and only David. Oh, sorry, what was that?
I read it.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'll just read it real quick. And then that way, if anyone has any opposition to it in its new form, let me know. Otherwise, we can go ahead and send this out to the group for approval. So the recommendation itself now reads, further study the relationship between specific registry operators, registrars, and DNS abuse by commissioning ongoing data collection, including but not limited to ICANN domain abuse activity reporting initiatives. For transparency purposes, this information should be regularly published, ideally quarterly, and no less than annually, in order to be able to identify registries and registrars that need to come under greater scrutiny, investigation, and potential enforcement action by ICANN.org. Upon identifying abuse phenomena, ICANN should put in place an action plan to respond to such studies, remediate problems identified, and define future ongoing data collection. So it reads nearly identical to the one we all reached consensus on, but slightly modified to encompass that the notion of the future ongoing data collection being something much more that occurs much more regularly. And then in the rationale, we explained that the DNS abuse study was meant to be a baseline and that we're calling for there to be ongoing data built upon that. And that one's longer, so I'll go ahead and let so David, for example, I'll let you just glance at that via email rather than reading that
one. I've answered it. Thanks, Drew. I'm reading it now, so
okay.
I've done that thing.
Okay, great. So does anybody have any opposition to putting that out to the group for approval?
I have one question, if I may.
Yeah,
David.
Sure.
It was just following quite a bit of feedback and discussion. I was having the benefit of going to an ICANN meeting on our recommendations, and this was one which it wasn't specifically called out, but it was one where I was just reading it. When I read it, everyone seems to forget the rationale and the related findings. The number of discussions I had where I would say, well, that's in the rationale. Oh, is it? And no one seems to read them. It seems our report might be too long. Everyone just copies the recommendations and considers the recommendations and comments on the recommendations and never looks at the rationale. And it was just when I read the recommendation C, obviously it's critical to have the rationale to understand why on earth we'd be studying a relationship between registry operators, registrars, and DNS abuse and commissioning, blah, 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 et cetera. Why on earth would we be doing that? It doesn't jump out immediately. And when I was just going through that, it seemed to me to almost be saying the recommendation C, and maybe this is more generally, but for this one, you know, if we started it by saying, in view of the DNS abuse study commissioned by the CCT review team, which identified extremely high rates of abuse associated with specific registers and registrars, we recommend that further study of the relationship. And it just seemed to me to make it a much more hard-hitting recommendation by just having that slight introduction to the beginning of it. So that was my thought. I don't know whether that's something else everyone thinks or whether it causes a problem with other recommendations because they're not set out in that way, but it just does really seem to miss, unless you've read the rationale, I read the recommendation.
Since this one is,
you know,
yeah, since this one's focused on data collection, maybe even something slightly broader than that, but in light of, or to be even broader than the DNS abuse study, because there's other analysis we did in our chapter that
yep.
led us to this conclusion too. And there was obviously
yeah.
analysis we did that led us to even commission the first DNS abuse study. So, no, I like that idea though. If that's something where, it would be
because,
more
you know,
helpful.
And again, I might be labeling the point, but it is that thing. We're putting this one in because of the extremely high rates of abuse, which we're seeing concentrated in certain registries. And that point seems to be lost by the people who don't read the report or they don't read the rationale and they just read this recommendation. And they're kind of like, yeah, okay, why not? And they just miss completely this point, which we've been making about that you know, raison d'etre. So that's why I just thought something a little bit more broad if you want. But the introduction of the first line of the rationale was pretty good, so we can make that a little bit broader. And if we put that in the beginning, I think that's ideal personally. But open to anybody's thoughts.
Okay. I'll go ahead and take a look at that and add some language and send it to you.
So that changes the model for all the answers, because every single answer is predicated on the rationale that we posted. If we're going to do that, why don't we just be bold and say, high rates of abuse require extra attention and maybe sanctions. Start with that sentence. That concept reads the mind immediately.
In the recommendation itself?
Yeah, in the recommendation.
Okay, at the beginning.
So similar
to David's suggestion, but rather than specifically pointing to the study, instead say this
yeah.
circumstance requires this action, and then go into what the recommendation
right.
is? Okay.
Yes, I'm just following up on David's comment. I take the comment, and it makes sense, but why not be more direct even in the language than David is suggesting?
Okay. Yeah, so maybe Because, you know, the other thing with this is we, even before we saw the results, we anticipated we'd want this because it's necessary to understand if policies are working or not working, right? Had we had, you know, a nice data trove when we first came in to do our review, we would have benefited. So it's exactly, it's that there are these existing high levels of abuse. So obviously the, you know, our finding is that it wasn't that the new GTLDs magically had more than the old, but nonetheless, abuse still, was able to migrate and exist at high levels in new GTLDs as it does in legacy GTLDs. And so there's that, the high levels of abuse, but then there's also just the notion of being able to understand if policies are working or not working and see those trends over time, as well as then that other component of the potential for enforcement action where things aren't working. So maybe saying just high levels of abuse require, you know, more attention, maybe I'll think of some other sentence that does something like that about ongoing data flow. But okay, I'll add some words and I'll send it out. See what you guys think. Or if you guys have suggestions, even better, just email me. But in general, everybody's okay with recommendations 19 and 34 going away after we've tweaked this recommendation C?
Yes.
Okay.
The chapter of the three elements that you want to add there. You want to highlight three elements, and those are highlighted there.
Okay. Great. All right, thanks. Well, then I guess I will pass the baton to David unless anyone else has anything else to say about this topic.
I'll take
all right, David,
passion.
You're up for for the recommendations 40, 41, and 42.
Yeah, okay. So just an update. At the ICANN meeting last week, I discussed these to try and get as much input as I could from various people, including Kathy. So the various groups that had made some comments, I spoke to registries, registrars, NCUC, IPC, INTA, etc. So I did the rounds. I explained where we were on that to each of them, and basically confirmed what we said we were going to do, which was, although it wasn't quite clear because we had our sub-team call where we were all in agreement, then we had the main call where Jordan wasn't in agreement. So I'm trying to take that on board and find suitable wording which makes everyone happy, as much as we can make everyone happy. But on the recommendation 40, we'd just agreed that we were going to amend it somewhat to put in some wording to say that we need to have a higher and more statistically significant response rate. On the recommendation 41, in view of Jordan's comments, I'm actually trying to reword the entire thing. So I started doing that. I haven't finished. I'll have to reword it, but it's complete rewording now. So it's a little bit strange having a recommendation which is in there for 2 years, but now we reword it completely. But we've got this juxtaposition which we discussed as to whether or not we should even take it out now, which I'm struggling with because there was no responses to the public comments saying that we should take 41 and 42 out, and it seems that it should still be in, but then it might be useful to take them out because then we can call them successes. I'm sort of trying to paraphrase the main call we had, but it still seems, and when you then discuss, and I went into depth with the RPM working group and I tried to follow that during the ICANN meeting, so when we say that the we spoke about it and we spoke, and Jordan, I think, had said that the clearinghouse was done, the review on that was done, so we could take out that review, that recommendation 42. It turns out it's not done, so they're still doing it, and there's more to come back to. So when you start delving into the detail, it gets incredibly complex. So that's still ongoing, and the URS is still ongoing. There's also potentially the URS may not actually be treated in the PDP working group until it's done with the UDRP in a second phase, which might be 3 or 4 years away. So it raises so many things in the air that it's quite a struggle to figure out how on earth you make suitable wording which matches where things are in reality and where they might go, and cover all of those off. But I'm sort of 75% of the way to something which I think almost does that, but I wouldn't say I'm ready to share it, but I'm happy to read out where I am if that helps. Some people want to give comments, but it might be easy to circulate it by email when it's done. And also just on the last email, when I did circulate these before the last call, which was 2 weeks ago whenever we had it, I'd put on there that I'd certainly welcome any comments from anybody, but I didn't get any comments from anybody, which is fine. So I don't have to change anything for anybody else's comments, but I was just letting you know that's where we are currently. So if that works for everybody, I will try and put these together, circulate it to this group, and then if you can all confirm that we're good to go with those, then we can circulate it to the wider group. I'm happy to take any questions if anybody wants to ask anything.
Any questions for David?
Well, one says it seems that David, that we have to do is to be aspirational. With the we recognize the problem, so, and we know that there's ongoing work. So to me, the best response is having recognized the problem. Let us just be aspirational about what we think would provide a solution or improve the situation, and leave it at that.
Thanks, Carmen. To share some of the wording which I've got where I'm amending it and to try and cover this, for instance, I've put, which is new wording, so this is the recommendation 41 for the URS, where we're saying a full review of the URS should be carried out. I'm including wording in there, for instance, which says,
the host has left the meeting to speak with meeting support and will rejoin soon.
Is everybody else still on if the host has gone?
No, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. I suddenly thought I might be talking to myself there for a while. So the current wording I've got is, instead of the simplified one saying a full review of the URS should be carried out on how it should interoperate with UDRP, given the PDP review going, which is currently ongoing, such review needs to take on board that report when published, and indeed may not be necessary if that report is substantial in its findings. That was where we were, and then the detail was in the rationale, hence my point about the other rationale, because nearly every discussion I had on this, people said, that's not in, that's not in, that's not in, and I said, it's in the rationale, it's in the rationale. Everyone said, what rationale? So that was the rationale and recommendation issue which I was raising. And so I'm suggesting putting in as the new one, saying something like, since our initial draft recommendation, the PDB review of all RPMs has started reviewing the URS in detail. This is currently ongoing. Given this ongoing review, the CCT recommends that the RPM working group continues its review. Having said this, the CCRT recommends that the interoperability of the URS with the UDRP needs to be considered, and it would appear that the appropriate time for this will be when the UDRP review is carried out by the PDP working group, and at this time consideration be given to how it should interoperate. The CCT review team has encountered a lack of available data in many respects, and the PDP review of all RPMs appears to also be encountering the same issue, and this may well prevent it from drawing firm conclusions. If modifications are not easily identified, then the CCT review team suggests continued monitoring until more data is available for review at a later date. So that's the one where I'm trying to catch everything in one recommendation, but it's not final, but that's where I'm on. So if you've got any comments on that, feel free to shout. Otherwise, I shall refine a little bit further and circulate.
It sounds like you got everything you need.
Yeah, hey, David, it's Jonathan. Oh, go ahead, Carl. Go ahead.
I said, you identify the problem that you outlined the problem that we saw. You recognize that some of the solutions might be in train, and you ended up by being aspirational by saying you're hoping that what's in train, the PDP, will eventually do that, and you give some indication of what the expected outcome that you would find as reasonable. So I think you've covered it.
Thanks.
Hey, David, it's Jonathan. I think I was going to say something pretty similar to Carlton. I know that part of what you were trying to do was address Jordan's concern about throwing out recommendations and that might already be covered. So, I mean, I feel like you did a good job of saying that we anticipate this being the work of the Rights Protection Working Group.
No, I mean, it was useful being at the ICANN meeting because obviously being able to speak to people face to face. But then, of course, you've got the various different interpretations of where the RPM working group is. So, I felt like I was opening a complete and utter can of worms at each step. So it's why I captured that. That was actually captured on the plane on the way back because I thought my mind's going mad with this now. But I did want to reflect on it a little bit and share it just to make sure I wasn't going mad. So. That's useful. Thanks. Okay, well, I'll finish those up and I'll circulate those as soon as I can. And I need to reflect a little bit more on the 42, which is the clearinghouse one, to sort of try and get some sort of reflection in a similar sort of way, given that people are going to be looking at that again. The one thing I do say is I do think the RPM working group looks as if it's going to be reviewing the URS in detail, and it's in excessive detail in my view. There's only 800 cases, but I know they're sort of going to go out to practitioners and ask a variety of questions. So they're drafting their own questions. So it's a far more detailed thing than the impact study was doing. So they're going to town on it, but it's certainly quite detailed. When you look at some of the questions being asked, that they're overly detailed in my view for something which has had so little use. And I think they're going to struggle to get sort of valid replies and valid data back again, because it really is in depth. Which is why I was sort of trying to capture that thing of saying if you can't at the end of the day draw firm conclusions, you know, then we're saying we do think you should continue to monitor, and that's the important thing. And maybe we should put in something here with, you know, a recommendation to a future review team that this is then picked up there to ensure that it has been carried out or something to that effect. I'm done, so back over to anyone.
So I guess we can just briefly discuss recommendation D.
Do you want me to start on that, Drew, or?
Oh, sure, that'd be great.
Or, yeah. I'm happy to.
Okay, yeah, go ahead and start on that.
Okay, so recommendation D, Drew and I had a long session at ICANN, and that wasn't drinking beer or having dinner or anything, was it, Drew? It was sitting there around a little conference table thrashing out recommendation D and trying to get progress on it. And we were looking at the various comments that there's sort of some of the issues potentially, which there's no factual premise. There's a narrow set of cases, so we're potentially punishing everyone. And how it ties into the other recommendations. So that was sort of the negative, shall we say, comments. But on the positive side, there was a lot of positive comments and a lot of support for recommendation 4. So it was, to us, it looked as if we've got a situation where there is a lot of support, but where there isn't support, it's because something's missing. And is there a factual premise to have this? So that's where we were looking. And the thing is, certainly from my point of view, I see a lot of this, so there's a lot of personal examples and issues which we see, and that's where we sort of discussed and said, well, actually, it's true, people don't necessarily see, we hear stories, but we don't see of the factual premises and what's needed. So we thought that it would be good to get a case study in there of something so people can really see what it is. We've obviously got the ALK names example. And again, you know, I'd sort of stress that that's something when you look at the ALK names where we've identified the very high levels of abuse in the DNS, you know, study, et cetera, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that a level of abuse dates back sort of 5 years now. So when you identify something 4 or 5 years ago and 4 or 5 years later, it's still up there abusing. That's an issue, and that's precisely the sort of issue where you go, well, this is where it could be useful because it's in addition to what compliance are doing or what compliance are able to do. And we've got another example, which I went through with Drew, and we looked at all that, and exactly the same thing. We've gone through something there which has gone through to compliance, and compliance haven't been able to act on it, despite the fact that we're looking at things which, to us, seem completely actionable, but then we're told there's not the powers under the RAA to do anything. So then you go, okay, so we're looking at actually the only time we'll be able to do anything on an example like this, which is clearly abusive and doing bad things, hence the idea of having a case study, means we're effectively saying we need to wait until there's a new RAA, the last one being in 2013. So, I mean, do we hope there's a new RAA before or after the next round of new GTLDs? But that's where, to me, it seems insanity to be waiting 3, 4, 5 years of effectively saying we potentially can't act in this instance, we can't do anything in this instance, and I find that completely unsatisfactory, and compliance find it unsatisfactory as well. So it's something I discussed a little bit more with Jamie as well when we were there, and that's where we sort of we looked at this and saying, okay, well, let's look at and try and get a case study together. So I said to Drew, right, I'll put this together, which obviously is on my list, so I will put this together. And then we wanted to, when we've got that, and we've got that together, then we can tie that into the wording, and then we'll come back to the sub-team with that, and we can run through, and we can all sort of see exactly the examples and then understand why we're trying to do it. And I think, again, we had some of the questions were sort of looking a little bit more, saying, well, how would it work? And I think there's this fear, because we haven't prescribed how the thing would work, there's a certain fear that it would be overused, which is natural to have that fear. But that fear has never been realized when you look at the PDDRP for the trademarks. That was a great fear then. This was going to be used by brand owners to take down all these nasty top-level domains, and they wouldn't be able to survive such use of this tool, and it's never been used. And to my mind, this is exactly the same thing. If a success would be it's never been used, but the success would also be if we end up being able to take down something or help compliance take down because they don't have the means to take it down, then it's done its job, and we can have quite a high threshold. So also we said, well, maybe we need to put a little bit more detail in it so that we see where it's coming from, so it's a more detailed recommendation perhaps. So that's where we are with those two tasks to go through, and then Drew and I will ping a little bit more, and then we'll put that around the sub-team. And I wanted to check whether there's anything else you want to add to that, Drew. That's what I've got anyway.
Thanks, David. No, I think that was a great summarization of what we talked about the other day, going through all the comments and really taking them seriously, but nonetheless trying to figure out how we could craft this recommendation to work in a way that addresses a real gap that there is, a real policy gap. And, you know, and as David mentioned, there really was a lot of support from the supporters and a lot of opposition. And so it was split. I forget. I'd have to look at the numbers, but maybe we had one more for than against. But either way, it was split pretty evenly between the two camps. So I think we'll probably be able to craft something, though, that really takes all of that into account and still solves this policy gap that we identified. So that's that for now. So, yeah, so David and I have the next round with that. Present it to the sub-team after we craft new language for that. And I guess Laureen will be able to go over her recommendations that she was going to go over for the consolidation next week. I unfortunately do not have anything in front of me about that to go over those, the consolidation of recommendations 11, 13, 15, and 33. So I guess I will turn to Jean-Baptiste for any orders of business, or Jonathan, if you have anything to chime in about.
And David, I've got my hand up if that's possible.
Oh, David, see, come back.
Sorry, I was muted. This is Jonathan. Both those sound fine. I'm interested in still making sure to build the caveats from the comments into the incentives recommendation. So I don't know what state that's in, but that's the one that I feel like there's still some paranoia about that one that I think we should address. Drew? Are you on mute, Drew?
Yes, but I'm sorry, you said there's still some paranoia about that one, and then what did you
say? No, I mean, the comments reflect some paranoia about people being able to get incentives, but not really. I mean, we're talking about how compliance can't do anything, and yet we're talking about potentially creating incentives or reductions on fees or whatever for, you know, throwing
the
policy
about the other
in place.
The other recommendation, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know what the state of that recommendation is. I just want to build some of those caveats that were raised in those comments into that recommendation, that's all.
Thanks. That recommendation, you have not seen another round of.
Okay.
Because recommendations A, B, and C have all been updated based on those conversations we had with those edits and with edits that were sent to me via email feedback. But then I was at this point going to just potentially wait until we were done with recommendation D to the extent that we need to update the DNS abuse chapter. Alternatively, though, I could send out everything but D, knowing that we still might add some more to the DNS abuse chapter. But, yeah, I did take all those into account as we discussed.
All right. Well, then, as long as that's still in process and I haven't missed it, which was possible.
No, you haven't missed it. Nothing's been approved in a final form at all. And so those were, and I can send you what I have even just one on one if you wanted to kind of see. But those were updated, and then I was receiving feedback up through last week on those.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
I don't need to change your process. I just wanted to make sure that I hadn't missed something that had gone out or anything like that. So it sounds like I haven't.
You're good. And by the way, we didn't even see each other last week, which is highly suspicious.
Yeah. Well, you
neither one of us believed the other one was in Puerto Rico.
Chose not to come to our vegetarian dinner.
You chose to make sure you scheduled it once you knew which days I couldn't make it. I saw how that worked.
Exactly.
I saw how the doodle poll was used for bad. All right, well then, I guess that's it from my side.
I still have my hand up.
And then,
Dave's got his hand up. We just can't see it, David. Sorry.
All right,
I know.
This is Jamie. This is Jamie. I have my hand up too.
Okay.
Hi, everyone. I have my hand up just to say that I've joined the call since I found David speaking. So I'm on the call. How are you?
All right.
Hi, Hal.
Welcome.
Yeah. So my hand up was just to check on tomorrow when you were saying what we were doing. But I won't have anything else to say because I need to knuckle down and do some of this drafting with Drew, etc. So I could be partially on the call. I'm traveling tomorrow, so I'm likely to be on a train during the time of the call. So I wasn't sure whether you were wanting the same sort of presentation on RPMs and this recommendation for the plenary, or if we skip that, let us do our work, and we come back next week with the recommendation D and the RPM text so that we can agree them on this sub-team and then go to the plenary. It makes more sense because there's just no time between now and the plenary tomorrow for me to do that. I won't have it ready for tomorrow and circulated to this group for comments by this group before the plenary. You see what I mean?
I don't know who should answer that necessarily, David. I think if there are concepts, larger questions to to be discussed, that you could create a couple of bullets or something and circulate those just for discussion purposes, that might be worthwhile on the plenary tomorrow. But otherwise, I guess I'd be inclined to, err on the side of drafting, because I think we just need to get this written.
If need be, I can put some couple of points together, sort of trying to summarize what we're doing and where we are with the sub-team, and basically saying then we'll report back to the plenary. But obviously, if I don't need to be on the plenary tomorrow.
Yeah, just to put the big issues out in case anybody speaks up and mentions something that is useful to you, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, in theory, we'd get that when we've discussed it on our sub-team and we're sort of comfortable with where it is, then it's easier to speak in the plenary, because then we're sort of all – we're aligned and we've done our drafting and we're in the same position.
Okay.
Sort of thing. So it's just we're sort of running before we can walk, sort of thing, otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, I just got off the competition call, and Jean-Baptiste said there wasn't a lot to cover thus far on the plenary tomorrow. So we may just shorten it to an hour or something like that. Jamie, go ahead.
Sure, I just wanted to recap a part of the discussion I had with Drew about his excellent paper, and in particular about the DRP or whatever it's called. And that is the reference to whether, compliance can't do its job or isn't able to go after systemic abuse. And what I said was that, I think that the rules that would be applied by this panel would be the same, that compliance would apply, and that's the language in the contract. I'm not going to comment on whether a review panel would do a better job than compliance in actually reviewing any particular case, but the if the interest is in enhancing compliance's ability to go after systemic abuse, the main focus, it would seem to me, would be the contractual terms rather than the body that's set to arbitrate or mediate. So Jonathan, it sort of picks up a little bit on what you were saying earlier. So we have zero opinion one way or another on the need for effectiveness of a potential review panel, but just wanted to reiterate that it may not be much more effective than compliance is right now if the contractual.
If the contract is the constraint.
Right.
David, is that something that you can address? I guess my understanding is that there was the purpose of the recommendation was to create a path. It wasn't just about having a different group review it, but that it was about creating a path that didn't exist for compliance. And is that something you can clarify in the context of Jamie's comment?
I can try to. I mean, and Jamie and I had a discussion on that. And again, it was sort of the objective of the DADRP was to have another route to getting the bad guys. That's the pure and one and only objective. If the compliance route, for whatever reason, is unavailable or cannot be used or is rejected, I suppose. And for whatever those reasons are, that it's another route. Now, whether that, and we did discuss this as well, with Drew and I actually, we said that maybe it's the sort of thing of saying, we understand that if the contracts are rigorous and good and satisfactory and take down the DNS abuse, then there's no need to have the DADRP. So my argument would be if that's the case, when we see examples of abuse which aren't taken down, why is that? So is it the issue with the contracts? Is it the difficulties compliance has? Is it because there's a need for this DADRP? And perhaps this DADRP will add nothing to it, and that bad actor or that would stay there. Hopefully it wouldn't, because we can craft this in a way that hopefully it would be able to deal with those, that systemic abuse. So that's the goal. And whether this becomes even an interim model, you know, and we have something in the recommendation that says this should be reviewed in 24 month time, given the evolution of ICANN compliance, et cetera. And if there's any revised terms, et cetera, which makes this defunct, we drop it, we get rid of it, anything like that. You know, that's all fine. And I'm certainly not adverse to anything like that. But I suppose one of the, you know, to sort of talk about a specific point, for instance, might be where you've got somebody saying, you know, or where the contract says, you know, you need to do something, like respond to an abuse query. And if that response to the abuse query is a response, but it's a completely unsatisfactory response, if compliance hands are tied because it says, well, they don't have to take down, they don't have to act, that's not in the contract, they just have to respond, you then look at that, the nature of that response. And I would have thought a panel there might come up with something which could help compliance by saying, you know, that response should be prompt, and prompt in various jurisdictions is 2 days, 3 days. I know in Germany you've got takedowns for abuse with Facebook, which are 12 hours. But you could say that's prompt, as is 3 days, as is 7 days. But something like 30 days or 21 days or 50 days is not prompt. And so that's where then there's other action can be taken against that registrar or registry if they keep doing it, because then you can see a pattern of systemic avoidance, shall we say. So that's why I think a DADRP would have more flexibility to deal with something which compliance perhaps can't. And if the DADRP then defines prompt, again, and I'm just completely going off on one here, but if it defines prompt, then that may help compliance to be able to say, well, prompt as per the DADRP is this and courts is this, so we think you're not prompt enough here and we can do something. So perhaps that helps compliance. But again, it's not going to be us that decide that. It's going to be the impartial third party who's looking at it, and it's ICANN compliance, and Jamie sitting and saying, well, is that useful? Is that not useful? And even if it's not used, but at the end of the day, it helps revise the contract or the terms to make it clearer and us be able to deal with DNS abuse and systemic in an easier way in the future, then that's a good thing as well.
So, David, this is Jamie. Just quickly, I mean, then the issue is, I mean, it's does DADRP interpret the contractual provisions differently than compliance does? There are different rules that apply for repeat offenders, but that's different from a definition of reasonable and prompt. So if the need is for if you think that a panel is going to interpret the contract differently than compliance, that's one thing. But it's still going to be interpreting the same provisions that compliance does currently. And then the last thing we talked about is that some of these IRPs in other contexts have been really good and really helpful in coming out with their decisions. Others have been a little unexpected.
I think unexpected is a good descriptive term for that.
Okay, thanks, guys. Does anybody else have their virtual invisible hand up?
Calvin here.
Calvin, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I just want to find, do we have a document somewhere where all these changes are being put together as they go along, or are we meant to try and track each one individually? Because I seem to have missed if we have a central document somewhere where these updates have been applied as and when we move forward.
So right now, they are individual documents that have been circulated, we're going to have to go through an integration and normalization exercise on them to try to create a coherent document. At this point, things have not been integrated back into the document. They're individual pieces that people have worked on.
Okay, I'll continue studying them on that.
Any other questions? Jean-Baptiste, do we have any other business? Because I don't have an agenda in front of me.
Hi, Jonathan. No, on the agenda, the only thing left was the part from Lorraine, but there was nothing shared on that, so nothing at this stage, no.
Okay. All right. I guess that's it. I don't have anything definitive to say, David, about the value of having a conversation tomorrow on the DADRP. But if there's a couple of big questions or anything like that that you think would help inform your drafting process, then circulate something to Jean-Baptiste before the call.
Okay, I think it's really what we need to do is get the wording and get sort of something meaty down, especially so then Calvin and everyone could look at it, and we can sort of we're discussing something substantial in front of us.
Okay. All right, folks. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Jonathan.
All right,
thanks, Paul. Thanks to everyone in the invisible hand.
Bye.